What's up, everybody? This is the Toddcast, episode 2 of season 2. I'm here today to talk about the Maysville Classic, the 2022 Maysville Classic. I got Ethan King and Malik Harrison of the Bloomer Moore. I got John Rice, who's heading the Maysville Classic, took over for Lamont Johnson last year. We'll start off with Ethan. Give us a little background, if you could, about the Bloomer Moore, the brand, and a little background on how you and Malik got hooked up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Malik and I'll touch on that. Malik and I, we first met each other in a group me chat, probably like in 2016. He was a graphic designer of creatives in that group. And I just loved his designs, and we really wanted to start a brand together. So we started with Bloomer Moore. The group was called Wave House back in the day, and I remember we were trying to get Jack Harlow in that group, and I feel like we almost had him, but we didn't get him. And then our group just kind of split after that. So then it became Bloom, essentially.
Malik, you're a graphic designer. Tell us about how you got into graphic design and how your graphic design, how your graphic design career kind of took off.
So I kind of got into graphics like early high school, like 10th grade. I took a course. Originally, like I did like drawings and stuff like that. And I guess just as time came to be, I wanted to start putting stuff on clothing and things like that. So I experimented with different little things such as like Photoshop and stuff like that. And then you know, I just been doing it since I was probably about 15, and I ended up going to school for it out there in Hanover College. And that's honestly around the time when me and E kind of met through the group that he mentioned, Wave House. And a lot of my graphics were done for them and just different local artists who did music and stuff of that nature. And it kind of took off as I graduated and I started linking up with some good people in the city. I'm from DC, so my networking out here really just took me to where I am now. That has allowed me to do it like full time, and really just, you know, having worked with E on the original brand Late Bloomers allowed me to kind of develop this style of the leaf that we have.
Yeah.
And just, you know, through collaboration with me and him, you know, that just allowed me to like become a better designer. And then as people in the city started gauging attention of like what I was doing, it kind of opened up like my network towards like different people. So as of like right now, I do a lot of designs for some WNBA players, some Washington Wizard players and things like that. And it's all really just through like, you know, connection building and things like that.
So basketball is like a big part of your brand. Would you say like your brand is basketball specific in terms of aesthetic? Is that kind of the culture around the brand?
Yeah, so we had the leaf with Late Bloomers, and then when we were kind of ideating back in the day, I was like, man, basketball was a huge part of my life. Can we try to get that in? And at the time, there wasn't no like aesthetic, like a design aesthetic for basketball. And I was just building my two passions together. And it just so happened to be a basketball aesthetic. And I just started seeing more and more pop up on Instagram that people really wanted to get into like the whole design field and basketball, which was really, really strange. I don't know if it was like collective conscious or what, but it was pretty wild to see.
Yeah, that's dope. So last year for the Maysville Classic, you guys dropped some merch. And since then, you've dropped even more merch, kind of basketball related. Talk about how that merch and its designs kind of took place for the 2021 Maysville Classic, and then your March 2022 drop as well.
You want that one?
Yeah, I'll take it, E. So you know what's actually funny, Todd? Me and E laugh about it all the time. We originally weren't even going to do merch, like. We were not trying to be a clothing brand. We were just like really big on just basketball aesthetics, and E just got into like this creative consciousness of just building a Instagram page around basketball. And like for a year straight of 2020, people are just asking like, when's the merch dropping? Yo, like when y'all gonna drop the merch and things like that? And we were just like, man, let's just give them some merch, you know what I mean? Because it's what the people wanted. And it kind of just morphed into just like this phenomenon of just like he said, basketball aesthetic, which, you know, really shaped the culture of us. And then that kind of formed this alliance and relationship that, you know, through E of knowing John, and that allowed us to like work with Maysville last year, you know, having them with being so rich in the culture of hoop culture and things of that nature. So,
yeah.
You know, the merch just kind of came about out of just what people saw through us and our potential.
So I had some firsthand knowledge of how it was birthed for the 2021 Maysville Classic. I was doing some ads for, you know, promoting the upcoming tournament. And I kind of saw how the Bulldog and got put into what a Bloomer Moore was doing with the merch. And it was really cool to see it come together. And then when you get to the tournament, you know, people were wearing the hats. And it really felt like that Maysville, downtown Maysville basketball culture that I grew up with, going to the Boys Club when it was downtown hooping. It kind of brought that back to life for me. And it was really good to see. I know John probably agrees with that. John has taken over heading the Maysville Classic. And John, how did that come about? When I know Lamont, he kind of stepped down after 20, or probably due to the pandemic, I'm not sure. But tell us how you got into the role that you're in for the Maysville Classic.
All right. So first off, I don't necessarily do it by myself. I do it with Jason Thompson as well. Lamont and Brian Miller decided to step down last year, so they asked us to take the Maysville Classic and take new ideas and run with it. And the whole thing is, I remember going down to the Rotary,
right,
watching when Brian Miller was playing.
Yeah.
So when Pat Moore was running it, then I was coached by Pat as a freshman in high school. So just being able to be in a position that they were able to ask me, like, that felt great.
And yeah, that's really dope. I mean, Lamont and Brian were, they did such a good job with the tournament, and they're like huge figures in the basketball culture, huge not just leaders in Maysville, but they were leaders in the basketball culture in the entire region. I'm not just talking about 10th region as people know it, but I'm talking about from Northern Kentucky east all the way to Ashland. You know, they were influential in the basketball culture. I mean, you've had teams in the Maysville Classic in the past from all over the state and in other states. Last year's tournament saw some players from University of Cincinnati, a team from Lexington. John, tell me how that really comes about when, you know, teams contact you guys that are starting a team. How does that come about in forming the tournament?
All right. So last year, I sat down and had a conversation with Lamont, try to figure out how we go about with getting teams. You know, more so, once you drop the flyer, you're not going to have a hard time getting your 16 teams, because people want to come out and people want to compete. So people want to prove that they got the best team. So once the flyer drops, teams will reach out, and then it's a 16 team tournament. Once we get your info, we reserve your spot with full payment. So, like, that's why we drop the Cash Tag or the Venmo or whatever it may be. Because not everybody that plays is from Maysville, so it's just easier to be able to send that transaction that way. Right. So we go to 16 teams. There's a coach contact for all 16 teams. And then we just go from there. So, like, we have four pools of four teams, and it's more so this year trying to turn that and make sure, because it's been on a point system of late, but right. This year we want to turn that pool into its own bracket. So what we want to do is, and this is all about branding, and that's why we linked up with Ethan and them, because, like, the Classic has a name of its own, but then putting it out there so it's more presentable, and then getting it to a place where, like, it's on different socials, so different people can see it, whether it be Snap, Insta, Facebook, whatever it may be, so it reaches out different people. But, like, with the pool play setting for this next year, what we want to do is your first game, if you win it, you're going to play another winner from the game below in your pool. So both winners will play each other for the one and the two seed. So if you get two wins, you're going to be the number one seed. If you get a loss against the winner, obviously you're a number two. But the two teams that lose, they're going to play each other. So the winner of the loser is going to be the number three seed. If you've already lost twice, we appreciate your effort, but we don't.
That's exactly why I don't play, John.
So that's what we're looking at, like, for this upcoming year. So there's going to be a 12-team single tournament rather than the 18. So we're just trying to get away from the point system now, because there were some good teams up winning last year because of the point system, they ended up making it to the tournament. So
that's a huge announcement just, right now, is the change of the format. I mean, that was a big talking point last year. I know there was a team that felt slighted a little bit. They didn't get to the knockout stage because of the point.
So the whole thing is that each pool play team each pool play winner will have a bye. So on Sunday, you're still going to see your eight best teams. However, if you don't make it through the first couple of rounds, we still won't see you on Sunday. You'll make the tournament, we still won't see you on Sunday. So the whole thing is to make sure we have the best teams in the tournament.
That's dope. Maysville, we all know, you know, the history behind the Maysville Classic, the Dirt Bowl, as it was known to us when we were kids. How big of a role do you think the Maysville Classic plays in downtown Maysville, as far as, you know, bringing people together, bringing a family atmosphere, sort of a tourism bump for Maysville, Kentucky? How do you feel like that's part of the is that the target of the tournament, part of the target for the tournament?
Oh, yes, most definitely. So what we want to see in future Maysville Classics is it sorts of, obviously we want it to be about basketball, but we also want it to be about community. And there are so many different places that constantly come and play at the Dirt Bowl, like Paris, Cynthiana, like, and it's more so bridging all the different communities together. And in the sense of tourism for Maysville, last year we had people from Tennessee, people from Florida, like, we had couple of teams, like, most definitely from out of state, and there's just great competition that goes on down at the girls' gym. So what we want is most definitely people downtown in Maysville walking, seeing the sights, because being from Maysville, I know the aesthetic that my hometown brings, especially at night with the bridge and the lights. Yeah. So like, it's more so making sure other people see what Maysville has in store for them. So if that's from the aesthetic and the look to the cobblestone streets on Market to
Simon Kenton Bridge.
Yeah. So like there's just so much that you can see in that little downtown area from the Russell Theater to. Yeah, just so much.
And it's the marquee on Russell Theater is a big Ethan standout in Maysville. last year's merch and a lot of the ads I noticed were kind of vintage style. Is that something that's going to return for the 2022 Maysville Classic?
Oh yeah, most definitely. Because like what me talking to Eve and Malik, it's more so paying homage to Maysville itself. And when I say Maysville, I'm talking about the school. And the Bulldog icon reigns supreme here still. Like, there are so many people that, like, pride never dies. So,
boy, you have no idea. I'm assistant coach at Augusta, and of course they scheduled us for the Maysville Bulldog night at the Mason County Field.
It was a big night. A big night.
That was a huge night. And I knew as soon as I got there 30 minutes before game time, we had no chance. We had no chance that night. We felt good. And then we got there and there were already, 2,000 people there waiting on us in black and gold. We were like, oh no. This ain't good, bro.
So, like I said, pride never dies. And it was a big time move by Mason County to like Market that night.
Yeah, that was really
because
cool.
Because it most definitely, and like to even like go a little bit further, because like Kevin Fulton being the narrator of the video that was shown. Watching the video before you guys played of like Maysville highlights and this, that, and the other, and then having Meek Mill on the back, like it was crazy. Like, I was excited before the game even started, but like,
It was a cool event. Not so cool for our team, but it was really cool to witness, and it gave me chills, I grew up in Augusta, but, my dad, when we went on Friday nights to watch basketball, if Augusta wasn't at home, we went down Route 8 and watched Maysville Bulldogs. I mean, I grew up, Orlando Myrick was like my Michael Jordan around there. I wanted to be just like Crack. So, Maysville Bulldogs, big part of my life. And I'm glad that, the Maysville Classic is stepping into that realm where they're trying to bring back and – wax poetic about the Maysville Bulldog days. To finish up here with Malik and Ethan, I want to know, what are your influences as far as, did you notice anything from any other basketball entities like leagues or tournaments that helped you, that guided you in a direction for the Maysville Classic?
I guess one, Malik. Nah, not really. I was always told to go like inward on like what made me the person I am. And I feel like Maysville in general, like I feel like the Maysville Classic too, and just playing down at the Maysville gym would build my character, built me who I was. So it's just how I want to give back. Like we're not expecting them, like me and Malik aren't expecting to make money or anything. We want to give back to John and help him brand the Maysville Classic. So really just going inward, just want to go and help the Maysville Classic.
That's dope, because that really shows the Maysville Classic's originality. And, you see a lot of leagues and tournaments these days that are, I'll go ahead and say it, they're all patterned after the Drew League in California.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to shout anybody out, but you know, a lot of leagues that I see, they're trying to duplicate that. And what I saw at the Maysville Classic last year is that they took the pride and history of the Dirt Bowl, and you guys turned that into a new brand and new tournament. The Maysville Classic is now showing that, you know, it's going to grow. There's no way up. There's no way down. It's going to trend up. And I thought the competition, the aesthetic, the audience, the crowd, everybody was feeling that vibe. And I just like to give you guys kudos. I mean, it was a great tournament last year, and I'm looking forward to this year. So, John, what are the dates for this year's Maysville Classic?
All right, so August 5th, 6th, and 7th. So Friday is the 5th, obviously. So it's usually always the first weekend in August. So we try to keep it true to what it's been in the years past. So those are the dates for you.
Are we expecting, like, any booths or, I don't know. I know someone mentioned that there might be a DJ at the tournament this year.
So we've talked to already.
Okay. I was going to say DJ already. I assumed it was going to be DJ already, but.
Yeah. So we've reached out to DJ already, and hopefully we can get my man down at the gym, because something that like super stood out to me when I was a little kid, because like always, like when somebody dunks or something like that, it's just like, oh. So like they used to be like, jam. Like, so like, when somebody would dunk, it was just crazy, because like they would play like the little ad libs and things like that. So hopefully we can get already to tap back into some of the homage down at the Rotary Park.
That's dope, man. All right, guys. So the Maysville Classic, those dates are 5th, 6th, 7th of August. Malik, you want to give your Instagram a shout real quick?
Yeah, sure. You can follow me at BYMALIK. You can go ahead and give yours and the brands, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Give the brand a plug.
You can just follow the Bloom & More page. It's just at Bloom & More, and it's AMORE. I'm assuming you can spell Bloom, so.
Yeah.
Find us there. You don't need my. I don't want to give my personal. I'll kind of keep that.
Yeah, I'll tag everybody. And I just want to thank you guys for joining me. Promoting the Maysville Classic is important to me. I love the event. And I'm a huge basketball fan. So, and I'm also a fan of the work that, you know, your brand is doing, and keep it up. Keep going in the right direction. I love the originality. You know, pass or fail, if you're original, I mean, that's something to be proud of.
Hey, it's just fun, man. That's all it is. We're just having fun. We're really just doing our inner child. Like, who cares? I don't even care about making money. It's just
That's kind of what I do with my podcast.
Exactly. If something happens, it happens.
All right, guys, thanks for joining. That has concluded today's interview with John Rice of Maysville Classic, Malik Harrison, Ethan King of Bloom & More. Check us out on the Toddcast. We've got another interview coming up later this week. Keep on the lookout for that. And next week, Junk Wax Pod again will drop Tuesday. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for watching. Find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Toddcast. Thank you, guys.